And now we start at Parshas Vayit on page 340. So now the pasuk starts off by saying as follows: "Vayem Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, 'Bay al Pari, come to Pari.'" Now, the comment, even though before it also said sometimes Bay, sometimes Leich, and we discussed that when it says Leich, Hashem says, "Moshe Rabbeinu, go yourself." When he says Bay means come, I'm coming with you. But the Baal HaTurim says, why over here does it say Bo El Pari instead of Leich? Because seven plagues were already done. In this parsha of Boi, there's three plagues left. Arba, the locust, Choshech, and Makas Bechaydus. So the word Bo, Beis Aleph, equals three. So Hashem is hinting to Moshe that there's three plagues left in this week's parsha. So he says Bo El Pari because there's three plagues left. Now, he says like this. Bay al Pari, come to Pari. Ki ani hichbadati aslibay, because I have hardened his heart. Vesleva vodov, in the heart of his servants. Why did I do this? The man, in order, shisi to place, I say, sai ele bekibay, my wonders within him. Okay? So basically, it's an interesting thing. This is the only makkah, God doesn't tell Moshe what to tell Pari. Yeah. Look, we'll learn the next pasuk now, we'll see. You should tell your children and your grandchildren. This that I played games with Egypt. And the miracles and the wonders that I put in them. You should know that I'm God. Moshe Rabbeinu was not told by God what plague is coming next. And if you see the next pasuk says, Moshe and Aaron came to Pari. So everybody asks, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know what the next plague is if God didn't tell him? It doesn't say it. This is the only plague in the Chumash that God doesn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu what's the next plague. So that's Kain Balotay. Everybody asks the question. Everybody, all the commentators ask the question. That's Kain Balotay says like this. Because he answers, very simple answer, but it's not so easy to understand, even though it's simple, but it's hard. And Moshe Rabbeinu's staff, yeah, it said, Tzach Adash Ba'achav. It's one of the many things written on Moshe Rabbeinu's stick was the acronym for all the plagues. Like we say in the Seder, Tzach Adash Ba'achav. In that God, right? So when Moshe Rabbeinu saw, he's going in the order. He saw there was Dam, Tzverdeya, Kinem, Arev, Dever, Shchin, Borod. And he sees the next one is an Aleph. So what could Aleph be? Aleph is Arba, locusts. That's how he answered. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what it was. Okay? So he says, Ba'achav, so you know the Aleph is Arba. So, 1 minute. So he asks a question on that. He asks a question on himself, so to speak. If that's the case, so why did God have to tell him about darkness and the plague of the firstborn? He should have known that also. So he says he learns a different explanation because of that. And he says in the next in Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk says that you should talk about it. You should talk about it to your children, your grandchildren. You're going to talk about it. In the book of Yoel, which is one of Terei Asar, there was also a plague of Arba, of locusts. And over there, the Pasuk in Yoel says everybody was talking about it, the children, the grandchildren. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that a plague, what is a plague that everybody's going to talk about, is going to be the plague of locusts. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Aleph is not, he understood is going to be Arba. That's the way the Daf Kenim Balatesis learns. That's why I'm saying that he also explains that because it says that everybody will talk about it for so long, so that's why he no understood what it was. Right.
But what makes a locust different than the other plagues that there was not mention of it?
So he says over here as follows. All the plagues that happened in Egypt, okay, well, it says later, we'll see that. It says all the plagues that were in Egypt, after the plague was over, there was no mark remaining in the thing. But by Arba, he says, look, he's in fear. Makas Arba, there was a Reshim Ladeiris, because after the Makkah left, they found that Arba never ate anything in Egypt, and all the other countries it did eat. Meaning as follows. All the other plagues in Egypt, like blood, yeah? It turned back into water, that's it, it's over. There's no remembrance from anything. The exception of this is Arba. Because later on, when the plague was over, it said, Leinisher Arba Echod Bechol Gvul Mitzrayim. There won't be one locust left in the entire Egypt. And God promised, there'll never be a locust in Egypt.
Never?
No. So now the children, the grandchildren, many generations later, say, 1 minute, I don't understand something. All the countries have locusts, and we don't. Why? So they're going to have to talk about the plagues that happened in Egypt, and God said, no locusts are going to be remaining. Right? So that means no locusts will ever come to Egypt. So this is a plague that people talk about for a long time. This is the only plague, the Kleiyoker said, that had a permanent repercussion in Egypt. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this is what the plague is.
Till now, still not locusts?
Right. I don't know, but because it's a different Egypt today.
Was never locusts in Egypt either?
Afterwards?
No, before.
Not as much.
Uh-huh.
He says, right, but doesn't say there were never locusts. There were not such an amount.
Epidemic.
Yeah. But after it was over, nothing remained. No locusts remained. Simple reason is because people used to eat locusts. People eat it. Chocolate covered.
Still do.
Yeah, in Morocco, these places, yeah.
Or Morocco.
Yeah, in Morocco they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chocolate covered.
No. You know what they do? They eat a lot of thyme. So their bellies are full of thyme. So when they roast them, they taste like thyme. And they're crunchy.
Thyme?
Thyme. The herb.
Oh,
I know in Iran they do it like sun-dried. It's salt.
What? Some kind of locust.
Do you eat locusts?
Yes.
Why not? The whole that whole part of the world eat locusts.
Like,
oh, that's shrimp.
Grasshopper.
That's shrimp. My laugh. Locust.
No.
Why don't we ask the doctor?
Rabbi Schuster,
that was
they have all different types of locusts.
Yeah. Some are kosher, some are not. Grasshoppers.
Right. And there's one locust that the rabbis there allow them to eat only. Specific locust.
I'm good to eat.
No, that was dried shrimp. Shrimp with maygo.
Malacham.
Listen, what's the difference? We don't eat it anyway.
Eating it wasn't a tradition.
They do it in Iran. They sun-dried it with salt.
Locust.
Yes.
It's a type of a grasshopper.
How do we know which one is kosher, which one is not kosher?
We don't know.
No, so we don't eat any of them.
No, but in those countries like Morocco, they have a tradition. They know which ones are kosher, which ones are not kosher.
Yeah. How come they?
You know, you have the same thing. By the way, what's called treberin meat. Yeah. You know, the hind quarter of an animal. So in America, we don't eat the hind quarter of an animal at all. In Israel, they do what's called treberin, which means they devein it, because there's the gid anosha, the hind, the thigh that Yaakovina was hit, the gid anosha by the angel. So in Israel, where meat is scarce, they have a tradition that they do treber meat, and therefore they have what's called a rump roast. You can buy kosher.
Yeah,
but in America, the tradition was that you're not allowed to. So there was a question asked in response, in Tshuvas. What happens if you bring the experts from Israel to America, let them devein the hind quarter of an animal, so part of it you can't eat, but the rest of it you could eat. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to. Because if traditionally, in America, you don't eat, or you didn't eat the hind quarter of the animal, because they didn't know years ago how to devein it, but the bottom line is, they don't eat it in America, so even if you bring in experts from Israel to devein it, you're not allowed to.
What do they do in Russia, Rabbi?
They don't eat it.
They do.
What, the frumi?
Yeah.
They do the vein. I didn't know that.
It's the best part of the animal.
It's called
filet mignon. Filet mignon, yeah? Yeah, but in Israel you can get it. In America you can't. But once there's a tradition, 1 second. Once there's a tradition not to eat it, you're not allowed to. I'll give you another example. Turkey. Not the country Turkey. The Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah?
The bird.
The bird. So there's a mashal. It was a very, very big pesik 400 years ago. The mashal said, you're not allowed to eat turkey because it was a tradition not to eat it. They didn't eat it. Everybody had disagreed with him, and they paskin that you could eat turkey. Because what's a kosher bird? There's no sign. Like meat is chewing the cud and having split hoofs. If fish is fins and scales. Birds is what's called are eaten b'maseda, tradition. Tradition, what tradition allowed to eat. So he said there was never a tradition of eating turkey. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat turkey. And everybody disagreed with him. That's why today the halacha is that turkey is considered, turkey is a kosher bird, and you're allowed to eat it. So once things become tradition not to eat, like in America, even if you bring in an expert from Morocco, let's say, that's going to show you which grasshoppers are kosher, which ones are not, you're still not allowed to in America, because the tradition in America is that you don't eat it. And once tradition is, you don't do it. What? What was that? What? You can't do it. Because the country here does a custom.
I understand, but if you go in Moroccan synagogue, you are allowed to dine by their.
That's food. Different. That's different than food. A Moroccan synagogue in America is not allowed to eat it. Just like an Israeli synagogue cannot eat the hind quarter of an animal.
If somebody go there, he allowed to eat there.
I don't know. It could be. Yeah, it could be not. It could be also not, because if where he lives and he's not moving there. He's not moving there. He's coming back, so he has a din of an American. What?
That's my question. If you visit.
If you visit, I don't think somebody. I don't think the halacha is that you could.
It's the same token. If you bring the meat here, you cannot eat.
No. Okay.
You think the same?
Yeah. Now, there's another question over here. Not that it's different from before. But the Rechaim HaKadosh says, you know, sometimes it says Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, sometimes it says Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. So here it says Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Many of the psukim before it also said Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Okay? He just says an interesting thing. Vayomer is soft spoken. Like, we know, what's the difference between Vayomer and Vayidaber? Vayidaber is harsh. Vayomer is soft. No, that's fine. Vayomer is soft spoken, and Vayidaber is harsh. So the question is, Hashem over here seemingly is speaking harsh. He's destroying Egypt. By all the plagues, you find Hashem, it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. So Rechaim says over here, why is Hashem saying Vayomer, which is soft, and Hashem, not Elohim. Elohim is the name of God punishing. So he says, even though Hashem is speaking harsh about Paray, but to Moshe is speaking with love. Because the tzaddik is happy when the Mitzrim are being destroyed. So to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Vayomer, and Hashem, not Vaydaber Elokim.
Can you rejoice from the non-Jews nations being punished as Jews? Can we rejoice?
We could if it happens to us, but not the angels. In other words, the Rechaim says the explanation is interesting. Kafilu midas harachamim haskima besimcha lasis din v'lehinokim me'ayivzeh. This is where Rechaim finishes the statement over here. He says that even the attribute of rachamim was happy that God was revenging himself from the Egyptians. There's a difference as follows. The Medrash says when the Egyptians were drowning in the sea, So it says the Malachim wanted to sing praise to God. Big Shur Malachim Lomi Shira. So Hashem said to the angels, "My Sayyada Tevim Bayam, my creatures are drowning, and you want to sing praise to me? How do you sing praise to me?" That's one of the reasons why we don't say complete halal on the last 2 days of Pesach, even though it's Chag, Shvi Shebezach, because the Egyptians were drowned. Yet, what was the thing the Jews did as soon as the Egyptians drowned? Az Yashem Moshe. The Jews sang praise. So I understand. God just said to the angels, why are you singing praying my creatures are drowning? And the Jews got besimcha. Besimcha rabba, you know. Micha mecha be'ilim Hashem. We say in davening. What's the difference? The difference is very logical and very simple. When it's happening to you, the Egyptians were slaving the Jews and torturing the Jews and killing the Jews. And Hashem takes revenge from them. You're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to be happy. But the angels who are not affected by Egypt, right? They want to get happy. Hashem says, cool it. What are you? You were saved by this angels? You weren't saved. And my things are drowning. So what are you praising for? But when something happens to you, God forbid, like the Jewish people in Egypt, so then they have an obligation to sing Shira to Hashem. And then they even, everybody has to be happy that the Egyptians were punished. Because when you destroy the Shoim, it's Rachmonis. It's Racham. Yemincha Hashem Nadari Bakayach, Yemincha Hashem Tiratayev, in Oz Yashir. So what does Rashi say? The twice Yemincha, that even the Yad Smol became Yad Yemin. Because that's the punishment of the Rishoyim. What's the lashon of the Pasuk? Of that's Rishoyim Rina, something like that. When the wicked are destroyed, that's the level of simcha. But that's only to the one that it happened to. But the malachim are not allowed to sing praise to Hashem. Okay, then we said Pasuk Beis. Also, that you should tell it's for all generations, tell them all the miracles that Hashem did and so on. Okay, here, I don't know why he waited all the way here, but we discussed it already. The Me'amleis asked the question, why did Hashem punish Pari if he said he's going to harden his heart? But we went into that already. Okay, Vayava Meshav Aaron, Patsi Gimel. Vayava Meshav Aaron al Pari. Meshav Beinu said, Meshav and Aaron came to Pari. Vayayim Ru Elov, and they said to him, listen. Kayamar Hashem Alekeo Ivim, so God, the God of the Jews, are saying, Ad Masim Meyanto, for how much longer are you refusing the honest Mipanai to to be humble before me? Shalach Ami, send out my people, the Yavduna, that they can serve me. So he said, how much more what will it take to get you humbled before me that you're going to give in? Okay, that's what he's saying. He says as follows. If you're not going to send out my nation, I'm going to bring locusts in your domain. Okay? And it's going to cover the whole eye of the earth, meaning everybody. You're not even going to be able to see the earth. There's going to be so many locusts, so much arba, all you're going to see is bugs. You're not going to see anything else. V'achal es yaser ha-pleito, and they're going to leave, eat the leftover, ha-nisharet lochem min ha-bara, which was left over from the hail. And that's what we said. Why did Hashem make the part of the grain wasn't destroyed in the hail? Because Hashem wanted it should be left over for the next plague of arba. So the pasuk says arba is going to eat up anything that the bara didn't hit because it was soft and not ripened yet. It's going to eat it. V'achal eskola eitzin is going to eat all the trees, hatzimeach lochem en asode, that is coming out of the fields. Whatever it is, it's going to eat it up completely. Now, umali v'techa, and now the pasuk says a very strange order. It's going to fill your houses, meaning Paris houses, uvati kol avadecha, and the houses of all your servants, ubati kol mitzrayim, and the houses of all Egypt, meaning the locusts are going to go all over the place, in your house, in your servant's house, and in the whole Egypt's house. That your forefathers, your parents, your grandparents never saw, that they didn't see until this day, and he turned around and he left Pari. Now, The Kliyaka asks the question. The order in Egypt is the most inner house is Paris. Around it is the servants. And around it is all the Egyptians. So the locusts are going to come. Where is it going to hit first?
Houses.
Regular houses. And then go into the servants. And then go into Paris' house. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? No, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a miracle even where they're going. First they're going to go into the most inner houses. And then they're going to work out. Normally, if they're coming from... Yeah. Normally is going to come here. The Arabic came up. Later it says the Arabic locust came up. So logically, it would have hit everybody else's first. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Pat, I want you to know that this itself is going to be a miracle in how it hits. That's what the Kliyaka explains.
That means they came, they were created inside the house, or yep. They came straight to the house?
They went straight to him.
Or they came out of the house.
Right. Now, the Kliyaka learns, what does it mean, Vayifin Vayetze Mi'im Pare? They turned around and left Pare. It's like he made a speech and he walked out. But the Kliyaka learns that's not what the Pasuk means. He learns that the Pasuk means they just turned to go out. But they didn't go out. How does he know this? Because in Pasuk, the next Pasuk, it says, Vayemiru Avdei Pare Elov. So the servants of Pare said to Pare, how much longer is this guy, Zeh means you point to him, is going to be this troublemaker? What's going on? The servants say to Pare, you know what? What are you doing? Like, get rid of these guys already. What do you want? Yeah? But they said Zeh. Zeh is Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu left, how could they say Zeh? And also, he says, if the Pasuk just wants to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu left, it should have said, Vayetze Me'im Pari. What do you mean, Vayifen Vayetze? They turned and left. It's an extra word. If the Torah would have left out the word Vayifen, and the Torah would have said, Vayetze Me'im Pari, that they walked out of Pari, yeah? It would have meant that he left. What do you mean, he turned and left? So therefore, he turned to leave, but he didn't leave. Because he wanted to find out what they're saying. Because this is the only plague where it says he's made a speech and left. What?
Does it mean he turns his back?
John, you want to ask something? Oh. What?
Does it mean that he turned his back to Paro?
Right. As if he was leaving, but he didn't.
Turned to leave.
Right.
How about the whole thing? Moshe was going back and forth. I don't understand. Paro was not saying that to his guard. Don't let him come or kill him or something.
We discussed this a long time ago, and the answer is that Hashem didn't want him to get killed, so he didn't kill him.
I mean,
but
he was just going straight to the Paro without any guard or any lions or anything.
Right. No, there were, but the miracle was Moshe Rabbeinu just walked in.
So they were like powerless, all those
things. Everybody was powerless, including Pari, to kill him. And that itself is a miracle. We learned already, I mean, weeks ago we were discussing this. Just to think about it, the most powerful man in the world, Pari, this Jewish schlepper, so to speak, he's coming to make him a problem. Why don't you just shoot him, kill him?
I know someone like that.
Who?
He's very powerful. Whenever I go shopping with them, everybody buys them.
And?
They're in this room, by the way.
And? It's a couple?
What's his name?
It's a couple.
What's his name?
Well, listen, is that a hint if it's a couple? Yeah, but not... Yeah, but that's in Kedusha. But simply, Pari could have said to his guards, kill him. I mean, he had a whole army, Pari.
Yes, but they were like brothers. Moshe and...
They weren't brothers. Moshe.
I mean, they were
listen, Moshe Rabbeinu ran away because Pari wanted to kill him.
Yeah, but they were raised in the same...
Moshe Rabbeinu was raised in Pari's house.
Just talk about the movie, I think.
No?
No? He was raised in the same house.
He was raised in Pari's house. The Pasuk says that.
The Pasuk
says he was raised.
Well, he was raised on the laps of
Pari's house, and together with him.
I think... think Paro was afraid to harm Moshe? Because he must have felt or knew somehow that God would kill him immediately.
Yeah, why? Why?
What? Why?
Yeah.
Well, it said if Paro had any moment that he wanted to harm Moshe or kill, you know, really destroy him, he knew that Hashem would kill him.
How many times did he go in and kill the best Jews? And
I know, but this was Moshe Rabbeinu, not just.
That didn't want him to be killed.
I know.
Okay. Weiter. Vayem Avdi Pari, of the servants of Pari, said to Pari, Amasi Yezalana Lameker, how much longer is this troublemaker going to be here? Shalachas HaAnoshim, send out the men, Vyavdos Hashem Lakeim, let them go serve God. You know, let them go do what they want already. Haterim Teda, don't you know, Ki Avda Mitzrayim, that Egypt is becoming finished, is becoming destroyed. So Rechaim over here asks a very simple question. He says, what in the world did Pari and his servants really think? He said, is there a shaita gomur? Is there a complete fool in the world that sees what's going on and is not going to be able to understand and say, finally, get out of here? I mean, you have to be a complete fool not to see what's going on. And he says, you're not going to believe that he was such a fool. Okay? And he said, even if God hardened his heart, but there has to be some logic there. Paro wasn't a fool, he was a chacham. Paro was a brilliant man. He said, where does he get it? Okay, so he says, but Paro made a mistake. Here. He says as follows. Hashem asked only to go out 3 days worth. Okay? So Hashem said, I want them to go out. And he said, this is what Paro's mistake was. Because Hashem wanted to send them out to go serve it in the desert. He says, he thought, number one, that Hashem is MS, that he only wants 3 days. And the second thing is that it comes with trickery, and he doesn't want to send, and he really wants to send them completely. So he said, Paro misunderstood what God wanted, basically. He didn't understand. What does God want over here? 3 days, not 3 days. Does he want a permanent...
How can he be so brilliant?
Huh?
How can be so brilliant and not understand that?
Lolita, what did you say, honey? I didn't hear you.
How can Paro be so brilliant and not understand that they needed to go 3 days?
Because the fact that Hashem asked only 3 days, and Paro said that means obviously that God doesn't have the ability to take him out completely. Because why would he ask only for 3 days? The whole time God said, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, let them go out for 3 days and we'll come back, yeah? So Paro says, I don't understand this, God. If he's so powerful, why would he want them to come back after 3 days?
But did he believe in God? It's omnipotent?
Well, he says after, that's what the Egyptians are telling him. After God, after all these 7 plagues, he said, you don't understand that by now that God doesn't have the power. So why is he asking for 3 days?
That's
what Paro didn't understand. So Paro said, obviously this God has a limited power.
But why Hashem did that? Why didn't Hashem say, you want to go forever?
Because he wanted to give Paro an option that even for 3 days let him go, and he said no. And well, now we're going to see in the next pasuk actually.
Maybe Paro thought that it's a trickery that they were doing on him, like,
they thought there's only, even when the Jews left, Paro thought it was only 3 days. That's why he sent the messengers by Kriyas Yamsev, you know, the 3 days, 3 days. Because Paro thought that God asked for 3 days, that's what he wants. So he said, I don't understand. So this God must have a limited power. So why should I send the Jews out at all?
He waited 6 days, not 3 days.
No. 3 days, but then the messages came back 3 days, so the Jews were 6 days ahead.
But what he said and did nothing.
What
was the problem for him to go follow after 3 days? Because messages came, he got an additional ability to go and do it something.
3 days here.
Yeah, but Paddy didn't send the army along with them to 3 days, and after 3 days to start fighting the Jews. Paddy thought, in all honesty, the Jews are going to come back. And he just sent messengers with them to make sure they're going to come back. When the messengers saw that they're not coming back, they didn't have the power to fight the Jews.
And you didn't see them going with their lambs and goats and...
No, we're going to see.
And horses.
No, we'll soon. 1 second. We'll soon see why. 1 minute. Let's see the next two psukim. Vayushav is Meshav is Aaron El Paddy. So they brought back through a shliach. They brought back Meshav and Aaron to Paddy. Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to him as follows: Luchu Ivdu Es Hashem Elokeichem. Go worship your God. Mi v'miyahelchem. Who do you want to go? So they answered. Our young, our old, our sons and our daughters, our sheep and cattle going, everybody's going for the party. Why? And this is a remarkable balaturim over here. Paddy said, and if you look in the depths of the Torah, it goes like this. Paddy says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi v'miyahelchem. Who's going? So the Baal Turim says, Mi v'mi ahelchim is the numerical value of Kalev and Bin Nun, which is Yeshua Bin Nun. Mm-hmm. Paddy based the discussion went as follows. Paddy knew. Paddy was a great level of Klipa that originated in a very high level of Kedusha. Paddy says to Meshe Rabbeinu, why do you guys want to go out of Egypt if you're all going to die in the desert anyway? And the only Jews that are going to go into Eretz Yisrael is Yeshua and Kalev ben Yefuna. And as we said, Mi v'mi ahelchim, the Baal HaTurim says the numerical value of Kalev, and Bin Nun, which is Yeshua Bin Nun. So Paddy says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi v'mi ahelchim, why do you want to go out of Egypt if the only two people going to make it to Israel is Yeshua and Kalev? So what do you want the Jews to go out? So Moshe Rabbeinu answered, the decree of dying in the desert was between the ages of 20 and 60. Anybody younger than 20 and anybody over than 60 lived. So Meshe Rabbeinu said, what do you mean, only Yeshua and Kalev? Binareinu, the youth, ubiskineinu, and the old people going. Simply, the pasuk means young to old are going. So the pasuk now, according to Baal Turim, is different. Paddy says to Meshe Rabbeinu, why do you want to go out of Israel if everybody's going to die in the desert? So Meshe, what do you mean everybody? Binareinu and Kenenu, and the animals are not going to die.
Well, this is very Kabbalistic.
It's not Kabbalistic, it's Baal Turim.
I still don't understand how you explained it. Jewish people know for sure that they don't go only for 3 days. Everybody knows, I don't remember where I read it.
The Jews didn't know anything necessarily. The Jews had no knowledge of anything. The Jews were told by Moshe Rabbeinu, go out of Egypt. They went out of Egypt. They didn't know for how long.
But everybody knows it's not 3 days.
How do they know? How do they know not?
They've never been out.
They were never told anything by Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say here, B'chol Moshe Rabbeinu communicated with the Jews what's going on. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
They have intention to come back.
How do you know?
The messenger come and tell the
because Moshe Rabbeinu said, keep going. They didn't know necessarily, when they left Egypt, if they knew what their story is.
How God said it's only for 3 days? I was going with
the Datameh. Moshe Rabbeinu told Paddy, let us go for 3 days. At the beginning of the plagues.
But that was not the plan of Hashem. Why would he say such a thing? The plan of Hashem was forever to go through.
But he wanted to show that Paddy wouldn't even agree for 3 days.
What if he would say it's okay? Then he would come.
But he didn't.
If he said he would come back in 3 days, he wouldn't.
Did Paddy didn't agree to anything?
No, he agreed.
I wouldn't say
it. No, he didn't. Let me explain to you something. If I say to you, if I make a deal with you, do this and this, and then this and this will happen, and you don't keep your side of the bargain, I have to keep my side of the bargain. No. I'll give you another example. I have to make a call, but another example. a Jew is not allowed to take a non-Jew to court. You know, that's a din. A Jew has to take a Jew to Bez Din. Okay. A Jew cannot take a non-Jew to court. A Jew is not allowed to take a Jew to court. It's biblical. A Jew is not allowed to take
another Jew
to court.
I said non-Jew.
I said another Jew.
No, you said non-Jew.
I'm sorry. A Jew, thank you. A Jew cannot take another Jew to court. Now, that means I cannot take you to court.
Civil
court. Now, what happens though if you take me to court? If you take me to court, then I can go back in court and kill you in civil law, even though Torah law doesn't allow it. Meaning, even though Torah law, I wouldn't be able to collect so much damages. Like, there's no suing in Torah. There's no counter-suing in Torah. But if you take me to court, because you took me to court, you went against Torah, I can counter-sue you in court, even though in Torah law, I wouldn't be allowed to do it. Because once you take me to court, I could do whatever I want to it. Right. 1 second. Okay, so now, coming back to this point. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paray, let the Jews go out for 3 days. Paray starts playing games and saying no. So legally, Moshe Rabbeinu was not bound to that original deal that he made with Paray for 3 days. Because the deal was, let the Jews out for 3 days. If he let them out right away, it would have been fine. But he didn't.
When he finally lets them go, is it for 3 days?
No. But the Jews didn't know that.
When he finally says go, he means, what does that mean?
Get out, just go.
He didn't say 3 days
only. Well, Paray meant only for 3 days. Because that's all the Jews asked for. And that's why Paray sent along spies with the Jews. Yes, sir. Exercising.
Also, I heard.
You know, when there's appeals going on and you raise your hand, it's very dangerous. Like if they're bidding in the thousands and you go like this, it's 10,000. It's dangerous. What?
I also heard. He didn't say, we're going 3 days and come back. He said, this is a day of 3 days to Hashem. He never said, we're going to come back. He said, Derech Shiloshet Yamin. Means it takes us 3 days to get to the point. But we have to go serve Hashem. Doesn't mean we're going to come back. He never said we're going to come back. Derech Shiloshet Yamin means...
God, when you say to somebody in Parshas Shmos, it says, let us go 3 days in the Midbar, right? So what does it mean? And then? If a worker says to the boss, let me go for 3 days. Yeah?
He doesn't say we go for 3 days.
Yes, he does.
No,
he says, let us go. What it means is, let us go for 3 days. That's what the pasuk means, simply. Yeah, let us go for 3 days.
Whatever, if you knew that Aaron and Yeshua are going to go 3 days of walking, they're not going to come back.
Obviously not, but this is on a higher level, so to speak, of after the fact, how you learn to talk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeshua was just putting a trap to bring the Egyptians to drown them.
It's not a trap. The Egyptians deserved... The Egyptians deserved to be drowned. It wasn't that God... Yeah, but you have to understand. If God wanted to destroy the Egyptians, he could have done a Korach job. The earth opened up. Yes, everything had to be Mida Kenegan Mida. They threw the Jewish kids into the water. Hashem said, I'm going to throw you into the water. Yeah, everything was Mida Kenegan Mida, right. But it wasn't in a way of like revenge. Or, you know, like we learned last week, Hashem doesn't have to take revenge. You know, it doesn't work. There's no need to take revenge. But Hashem said, and Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, never changed it, the three-day story. Moshe Rabbeinu never changed the three-day story.
But he wanted to come back?
He never said it, but he never changed it. He didn't say, let's go permanently. He kept saying, let us go. It started off by saying, let us go for 3 days. And if not, this is going to happen. So Paray said, no. So the plague happened. Okay? Then Paray said, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to let you. Let you what? What the original deal was.
Just a minute. When Moshe come and tell Pakod if Kod, as everybody knows, and somebody come and says, this whole that the Jews are free. And
maybe only for 3 days. Who said it? Maybe? Maybe?
It doesn't
say, where does it say that Moshe said to the Jews, they're going for good?
Everybody knows that somebody will come and tell
the swarm. Tavdun Salakim Allah, and they'll go back.